nice how things work out if you just have faith? I mean, here we were in the middle of a slow season, and just when I was starting to worry, boom, we get to do a whole hotel. I mean, don't you just feel sometimes there's this overpowering presence watching over you?
Yes.
Well, I certainly wouldn't be calling it a hotel. I mean, there's more mole than hoe about it. It's just four rooms smack up against the interstate. Now, that's definitely a motel.
Is that bad?
Well, it's fine if you're a bunch of hillbillies traveling to Rock City with a bunch of kids in the back seat playing license plate bingo and eating cold biscuits out of wax paper and stopping at Stucky's every 5 minutes for taffy.
Sounds good to me.
Suzanne, we're fortunate to have this job. We need the money.
That's right. We could use a big check right now. I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but I even started rationing office supplies. I was saving rubber bands, straightening out little bent staples and using them again, you know, and writing real light with my pencils that wouldn't wear down too fast.
If you ask me, I blame the Southwestern fad. It's just nearly ruined decorating. I mean, I don't think anybody ever really wanted cactuses and cow skulls in their living room.
Well, we don't have to worry now. We got a big check coming in. The Lord provideth.
Yeah, but look what he provideth. A motel.
Suzanne!
Well, you'd think the Lord would have a little more taste. Especially considering what goes on in those places. I mean, 1 million years ago, he blew up Sodom and Gomorrah, and back then, they didn't even have vibrating waterbeds.
Suzanne, despite your lurid and oddly well-informed fantasies, this motel happens to be a family establishment. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm just so mad I could spit! It is always the same. A woman takes her car into the mechanic, and they just assume that she's completely ignorant.
What's wrong with your car?
Oh, that little black flippy thing's going ching, ching, ching instead of hum. Here are those samples from Textile City. I'm gonna get ripped off again. I just know it. I know how they operate. You take it in for a little rattle, and pretty soon they're saying, well, little lady, that glove compartment's got to go. I know just what you mean. You remember Colleen Metcalf? She went to see a plastic surgeon to have her ears pinned back, which was a very good thing since they used to virtually just flap in the breeze.
Suzanne, we're talking about Mary Jo's car.
Well, so am I. So, anyway, once Colleen was in their hands, that was it. They said having her ears pinned back made her chin too prominent. Then having her chin filed down made her nose look too big. And on and on and on. If it was bumpy, make it flat. If it was big, make it little. If it was little, make it huge. Until every inch of that woman's body had been whittled, tucked, lifted, pinned, implanted, or sucked. I mean, she had enough plastic in her for a Tupperware party.
Hey, Joe, are you sure these are the sample draperies we ordered for the hotel account?
Oh, don't tell me I've been ripped off again. I knew Textile City was too cheap to be true.
Honey, these are absolutely beautiful. Fearless fabric.
Morning, ladies.
Talk about gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I see my new bronzing gel is not going unnoticed.
Mary Jo, can we get these things ordered in time for the hotel opening?
Well, I'll call and put in an order right now.
I just can't believe everything's working out so perfectly.
And I cannot believe you two are getting so head up about curtains. I mean, is there anyone whose life has been seriously affected by the presence or absence of motel curtains?
Well, maybe Jimmy Swaggart.
But I dropped it off by the garage again this morning because the noise is still there. As a matter of fact, it's worse. Now, after it chings, there's another noise. All right, it goes wappa wappa. Ching, 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 wappa wappa. Ching, 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 wappa wappa. Ching, 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 wappa wappa. Ching, ching, wappa. Please. Now I'm on hold. They gotta get somebody. Apparently, there is still one man at Bailey Hicks Auto and Body who has not had the opportunity to patronize me.
Hello? Yes, this is Miss Shively. What seems to be the problem? Well, now, I'm just a silly little old woman thing, and I don't know nothing about nothing. But that knocking sound is probably a loose rocker arm, but it might be a bearing or faulty piston, so check those two. Now, I assume that you've already checked the oil, so it's not the hydraulic lifters. Uh-huh. Yes, you do that. What? Well, I'm sorry, but I'm busy Friday night. I've already seen Tucker. What? Oh, get along with you. Shut up!
Ha
He was tickled by my womanly expertise.
Thank you, Anthony. I do appreciate that, although I'm not sure if it's going to help or not. You see, we've established a little game, the fellas and me, down at the garage. I try to figure out what's really wrong with my car, and they try to figure out my total net worth.
I thought the estimate was $29.95.
Well, apparently that's what it costs for just one of the men to rub his face and say, well, that's going to cost you.
If I might interject, I have some very, very important news from the transport and delivery department.
Well, the rest of the lamps for the hotel are here, and all we need is the rest of the things from Textile City, and we're raring to go. See, Julia, we'll do this one job. We'll be completely out of the red.
Right. What is it?
Anthony?
Oh, there is trouble in Textile City.
What kind of trouble?
We're not going to get any curtains out of them. The whole place is shut down. The workers have gone out on strike.
Oh, Lordy. Oh, no. Oh, those poor people. I mean, they won't be able to work and buy money for food.
They're on strike.
If we can't get our curtains, we're going to lose this hotel job.
Would someone please explain to me what's happening?
What are you talking about?
Well, there's a group of tackily dressed people out there carrying signs and wandering around in the bushes.
It's a picket line. Not to worry, Charlene. They do have food.
Julia. Julia.
What?
How come those curtain people are picketing us?
For the same reason there are floods and pestilence. For the same reason there are plagues of locusts. For the same reason tornadoes always hit trailer parks.
Well, that was an interesting way to start the day. Running through a line of strangers, calling me the evil, money-sucking, cash-whoring decorator monster. I thought I'd snookered them by going around back, but no flies on them. They had a platoon ambush me by the back door. What's with her?
Oh, she was up all night, phoning around, trying to find someone to finish those curtains for us, and she's just a big grouch. She just woke up on the wrong side of the desk.
Where's that coffee pot gotten to?
You're welcome. I made the blueberry ones myself.
Are you pouring coffee for those people?
I can't help it. I feel sorry for them. I was talking to a fella outside who said they pretty much have to picket us because we're Textile City's biggest customer right now. Walking around for hours like that, it's tiring.
Yes, wouldn't it be awful if they got so exhausted they had to go home?
Julia, I'm surprised at you. You usually have more compassion for working people.
Well, I do. Have a little more compassion. If these working people were actually working, you couldn't really call them working people right now. You could call them standing in my azaleas and screeching people.
Well, I understand if they've got a problem with Textile City, but I sure hate going through that line.
Oh, you can't let them get to you. You have to just put a little smile on your face that says, I'm way, way better than you, and sail right on through. Of course, you know why I'm so cool about all this.
No, Suzanne, we can't imagine why.
I've been through this 100 times. There were always protesters just like this outside of every pageant. You know, walking around with signs, setting their underwear on fire, just anything to attract attention. There was this woman. She hung steaks and chops all over herself, and she was carrying a sign that said, beauty pageants are meat markets. Well, I just said right back in her face, honey, if this place is a meat market, then you're looking at grade A prime rib right here.
That must have impressed her.
You bet it did. She herself was mostly gristle.
Thank you, Suzanne. I mean, it's not that they get to me. I mean, they do get to me. I just never thought of myself as a person who would cross a picket line.
That's very admirable, Mary Jo. I myself have been distinctly pro-labor all my life, except for a brief period this morning when a cabbage hit my windshield. But if we can't get the curtains in, the hotel doesn't open and all the people in the hotel lose work, so it's complicated.
I mean, I know y'all think it's inappropriate for me to be giving them coffee, but it's just that two of my brothers and one of my sisters worked in the ink factory back home, and I know how hard it was for them to even get a union. A lot of people got fired, and one fella even got beat up real bad. And everybody in town was saying that the ink workers were no better than Russian communists. And all they wanted was 10 more cents an hour. 10 cents! I remember my little brother coming home all just frazzled and worn out, all covered with ink. He was working in blue that year. He looked like a Smurf. And him saying, it's just a lousy dime. And I guess I just never thought I'd be on the other side, but I am now. I'm management, stealing dimes from Smurfs.
Do you think that they would talk to us? I mean, if it's something small, if it's just a dime an hour or something, I mean, maybe we could talk to the strikers and help work something out.
I'm leaving right now. You're going to have all that riffraff in this very room, and Charlene's going to start serving them Coca-Colas and baking them brownies. And we might as well have turned this whole place into a big USO for the AF of LCIO.
That sounds like a Tammy Wynette song.
Gee, they sound like such reasonable people.
Excuse me, ladies. I know it's none of my business, but there are two little old Vietnamese ladies laying in your driveway.
Oh, they've been there all morning. You know, they look frail, but when I put my Mercedes in at 30 miles an hour, they hopped up right quick.
Well, maybe, but I'm not going to be able to get the van out to make deliveries.
Oh, it doesn't make any difference, Anthony. We don't have anything to deliver. In fact, we might as well just board this place up and go fishing. We can't do anything with that picket line out there.
Well, can't we go to Textile City and talk to their boss about this whole thing?
I've been calling them all morning. The phone's off the hook.
Well, I personally have had it. I am driving right out there to that factory right now and talking to that Mr. Emery. Except that I don't have a car.
I'll drive you.
You will drive me?
Yeah. They know my Mercedes. They're not going to try and mess with me. Besides, I'm tired of all the screaming and shouting out there, and I'd like to tell these people a thing or two.
Well, if you two are going, then Charlene and I might as well go, too. Anthony, how do you get to Textile City?
It's not hard. You just take 75 north and turn off at the Big Chicken.
The Big Chicken? No joke, people got your car.
It's a chicken place in a four-story chicken. You can't miss it.
Hello?
On second thought, maybe I better drive.
Probably be best.
I think so.
Mary Jo, you coming?
Yeah, I'll be right there. Just warm the car. I'll be there. No! Absolutely not! Because that's $150 more than you told me, and I didn't ask for that. Yes, I want my car. Could you all hold it down for just 1 second? Thank you. So the estimate you gave me was just kind of a little practical joke. Is that right? Oh, I say, fine. Thank you. Let her rip!
Right place. Nobody's here.
Yeah, this is it, all right. Usually this room is crammed full of little women and big sewing machines.
Oh, these are our curtains.
We're almost finished.
Well, we came here to talk to Mr. Emery about his labor problems. He is obviously not here. We should just leave.
Yeah, this place is kind of spooky. It's like some ghostly workroom where all the workers have mysteriously disappeared and spirited away by some unearthly force. You might just stand here, all the lights will go on by themselves, and all the machines will go on by themselves.
Charlene, for Pete's sake, stop telling those stories. You're just going to scare yourself.
I say we just take our curtains and hit the road.
Suzanne, we cannot just take our curtains. We're not even supposed to be here. Anyway, what good would they do us unfinished?
Well, let's finish them. You so, don't you, Charlene?
Uh-huh. Mary Jo, that is a crazy idea.
Julia, we are desperate. We have got to have these curtains. Now, Charlene and I sew. These places use mostly unskilled labor. Suzanne is unskilled.
You may think that I resent that, but I don't. I am proud to say that none of my social circle has skills.
Come on. How hard can it be?
Lean over so far, you're sewing your hair into the curtain.
Sorry, Charlene, I'm not a seamstress. I'm only agreed to do this if we get out of this hellhole a little faster.
I got a crick in my neck. I can't see very well either since my bulb burned out.
Well, Julie would have to get a new one, and Anthony's saying about turning the heat up.
I kind of like it cold. Keeps the rats in their holes.
Can we please stop making those rat references?
Suzanne, it wasn't a rat you saw, it was just a little mouse. Like Mickey. You like Mickey Mouse, don't you?
Charlene, don't patronize me. That wasn't Mickey Mouse. That rat I saw, he wasn't wearing little pants and shoes and gloves. He was eating a candy wrapper. Mickey Mouse doesn't run around with his neck getting in a garbage can eating candy wrappers.
Wouldn't it be great if he did? I mean, you know, if the guy that wears that big mouse suit at Disneyland acting like a real rodent, you know, instead of shaking hands and having this picture taken with the kids and just stole candy and hid under things.
Hey, Joe, you're getting punchy. I think we need something to eat.
Forget about that lunchroom. It's just a closet with two old vending machines. I just had a Butterfinger with a little fur coat on.
I don't care. I'm starving. Here, Charlene. I'm
through. I have to go get me some pork rinds or something nutritious.
Suzanne, we can't use these. They're all crooked and they're sewn on the wrong side.
Oh, no. Mine, too.
Oh, no! Oh, I think mine's okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you working here now?
Yeah.
Just for today.
Oh, me too. That's good.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, you'll get your 50 cents for that one.
50 cents? Are you telling me that three grown women just work 4 hours for 50 cents? I once had a man offer me $400 just so he
could... Suzanne! Come on. Let's take a little break. Go blow a week's pay on some pork rinds.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm looking for my friends.
Some lady just went out for pork rinds.
Yes, that would be them.
Mr. Emery lets me use the machine here sometimes. I don't have one at home like the other ladies.
Well, that's nice. That he would let you do your personal sewing for yourself, even though you're on strike. That is your personal sewing, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. It's personal. I do these curtains personally myself, every bit. My daughter helps me finish the hems, though. She's a big help for a little thing. 1 week, we did 25, her and me. If we could keep that up, we could even buy a Chevy Chevette with the extra money.
Sugar bacon. Oh, Margaret, you can go home now.
But I need
go
to...
Go home, pay. Margaret. Please. Mrs. Sugarbaker, I have wonderful news. We may be able to fill your order after all. At least about 80% of it, but it will be there on time.
That's amazing. You're a miracle worker, Mr. Emery. How do you do it?
Well, I have my ways. You know, I'm very interested in keeping your business, Mrs. Sugarbaker. And here at Textile City, the customer is king. Or queen, of course.
You'll find, Mr. Emery, that I'm not very interested in being queen of anything. Frankly, I'm much more concerned right now about how you treat your subjects.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about piecework, Mr. Emery. I'm talking about taking scared, desperate people and paying them not an hourly wage, not a living wage, not even a minimum wage, but by the piece, which I believe, Mr. Emery, is illegal. So I don't think I'm going to be taking my beautiful curtains today. I think I'm going to be taking my non-refundable deposit check right now.
You are one tough customer, Mrs. Sugarbaker. I break my back trying to fill this order for you. Well, I'm having considerable problems of my own out there. You come in here, obviously all puffed up about some union crap that is clearly none of your business.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope you enjoy it when you can't finish that job, when that hotel doesn't open on time, and when all that other labor is out of work.
That's a very compelling argument. You know, I was reciting it to myself just this morning, but there's a problem with it. It doesn't wash. See, basically, that argument goes, it's okay to be unfair to a small group if that makes things run smoother for a large group. It sounds good until you realize that's always been the excuse for all the injustice in the world. You have to look out for that argument because ultimately, we're all small groups and we're all labor. So until you wake up and take in that fact, Mr. Emery, Textile City ain't big enough for the both of us.
Lord, what time is it?
Hooray.
How on earth did it take 4 hours to drive from Dalton to Atlanta?
It's my fault. I missed the big chicken.
Well, that's the perfect ending to this day. Driving around in a pitch-dark freeway looking for a 40-foot chicken to guide you home.
And then we had to drop Mary Jo off at the garage to get a car. I gotta say, I didn't like leaving her there. That Bailey Hicks auto and body are nothing but a bunch of criminals, in my opinion, and... Of course, I know whereof I speak.
Something wrong with my ear?
What are you talking about?
Well, you're holding your head like that, and I feel like you're looking at my ear. It's making me nervous.
Charlene, my head is stuck this way from spending 4 hours at a sewing machine.
I know. Who would have thought it'd be so hard to hem some dadgum curtains?
Yeah. Kind of makes you wish those picketers were back here again tonight. Wouldn't it make you think differently knowing what you know now?
Sure would.
Me too.
What do we know now?
Suzanne, how would you like to work in a place like that?
Or anywhere, for that matter.
I would not care for that.
I didn't think so.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. Hey, Mary Jo. Well, I just phoned and told Jack Gilmore we can't do his hotel, so I guess that's that. Did you get your car out all right?
Well, let me tell you about that. I went in there to Bailey Hicks Auto and Body, and they said, well, Miss Shively, your final bill is $506.31. And I thought to myself, when am I going to say no? At what point am I going to say that is too much? What is my breaking point? Well, I'll tell you what my breaking point is. My breaking point is $506.31. Now, I would have been happy to pay $506.30, but they just got cocky. They just went too far, and I said no. And it felt real good.
All right, Joe, they're just going to hold your car hostage. You won't be able to visit it or anything.
No, I'm going to get my car. They're open late tonight. We're all going to get the car.
Are we going to eat first?
Nope. We're going to go over there to the Auto and Body, and we're going to throw a picket line up over there. And then we're going to march and chant, free the Shively Volvo! Free the Shively Volvo! Free the Shively Volvo! That's good, that's good. And we might just make use of these a little, too.
Mary Jo.
Now, Julia, we're not doing this just for ourselves. We're doing this for every woman who ever went into a garage and just took out her wallet and said, here.
Well, okay, for those women.
And the little guy.
And the Smurfs.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've had a very difficult day, and I do not feel like marching around in a circle around Bailey Hicks Auto and Body. I'm too tired. Oh, all right. But I'll get the line down in his driveway.